नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्वेत गदाधर शिवासादि गौरव भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम द 8th चैप्टर ऑफ Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is titled as Attaining the Supreme or Taraka Brahma Yoga. So, I'll do a quick recap because last week we did not have the session because of the Janmashtami celebrations. So, we saw that towards the end of okay, anyways, I'll do a little bit more broader recap. Krishna, in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, described what is called as Gunibhuta Bhakti. So Gunibhuta Bhakti means where Bhakti is secondary and Karma Jnana Yoga are primary. That is what he describes in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So first chapter is setting the scene for the whole conversation to happen. Second chapter is the basic Sankhya, the difference between body and soul. And then from the third chapter onwards, he describes, in the third and fourth chapter, he describes Karma Yoga, both Sakama and Nishkama Karma Yoga, in which karma is primary and bhakti is secondary. And then in the fifth chapter, he describes about Jnana Yoga, in which Jnana is primary and bhakti is secondary. And in the sixth chapter, he describes about Ashtanga Yoga, in which Ashtanga Yoga is primary and bhakti is secondary. So in this way, the first six chapters talks about Gunibhuta Bhakti, in which the ultimate destination one can achieve is actually Sayujya Mukti or impersonal liberation. Then from the seventh chapter onwards, he starts discussing about Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti and Shuddha Bhakti. Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti means where Bhakti is predominant and Karma Jnana Yoga are secondary. And Shuddha Bhakti is that bhakti which is not mixed with karma, jnana, yoga, anything, pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti ruttama. So, in the seventh chapter, he talks about in the artho jigyasura chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna. Artho Jigyasur Arthaarthi Jnani Chabartarshaba, the four kinds of people who surrender to Krishna. In that, he talks about the first three, Artho Jigyasu Arthaarthi. These three are Karma Mishra Bhaktas, who worship Krishna and they want to please Krishna, but they also have a desire to escape material miseries or get some material benefits from that practice, etc., as a secondary goal. And the Jnani is the Jnana Mishra Bhakta. Okay. And towards the end of the seventh chapter, Krishna introduces another category of Pradhani Bhuta Bhakta, who is the Moksha Kami. Okay. Who primarily worships Krishna for escaping material miseries. Jara Marana Mokshaya Mama Shritya Yatantiye Tad Brahmat Tadvidu Krishnam Adhyatmam Karma Chakilam. So like that, Krishna says that there are people who worship me to attain jara marana mokshaya, in order to escape old age, disease, death, like that. People worship me for that purpose also. And such people, he says, they know these six things. Te brahmat tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. They know what is Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, adiyajna, adidaiva. You know, these terminologies, she says, like that he says, jaramarana mokshaya mama shritya etantiye, te brahma tadviduk krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam, tadi bhutadi daivam mam tadi yajyam chaye viduhu, prayana kale apichamam te vidu yukta chetasaha. Like that Krishna says that such people know all these various aspects of Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, Adiyagya, Adidaiva, etc. And such people remember me even at the time of death. Okay. Like that, he mentions. But he does not very clearly explain what these terminologies are. What is this Karma, Brahma, Adhyatma, Adiyagya, Adidaiva, etc. So, he Arjuna asks, starts the 8th chapter by asking this question. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidaivam kim uchyate adiyagya kadam kovatra dehesmin madhusudana prayana kale cha katam geyosi niyatatma bihi. Like that he asks, what is this brahma, adhyatma, karma, adibhuta, adidaiva, etc. And how are you to be known at the time of death, okay, like that. And Krishna answers these questions. We have already seen this in detail. I will not go into the details again. And then in the next section, he talks about remembering Krishna at the time of death. He says, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayah. He says, at the point of death, he who leaves the body while knowing me in truth, mamevas maran. So he says, mamevas maran. Mamevas maran, even though may mean remembering, but the acharyas very clearly say, it is not like remembering a pot or a wall. Remembering here means realizing. Having completely realized Krishna, which means, casual remembrance of even devotees leaving their body, casual remembrance of Krishna does not guarantee, leaving this world and going back to Krishna. They have to reach the qualification of establishing a relationship with Krishna. Because we don't want to go to the spiritual world and not have an active relationship with Krishna. We have a very specific goal, right? So if someone wants to get an admission at Harvard University, they want an admission for an undergrad program, they will not be satisfied. Okay, we can't give you an admission for an undergrad program, but you can visit your friends at Harvard whenever you want. You have the permission for that. So no one will be happy with that. So as devotees, we wish to go to the spiritual world while having a very clear-cut relationship with Krishna. So we will not settle for anything less than that. So in that case, we need to have. So before prema, no one goes. Without attaining prema, no one. So this casual remembrance of Krishna, even at the time of death, does not guarantee, entry into the spiritual world for devotees actually. Because here the word smaran does not refer to casual remembrance. It refers to realizing Krishna. So, and then he says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tam eva iti kaunteya sada tat bhava bhavita. So how one can attain Krishna? Because whatever one thinks of when leaving the body, one attains a state similar to that object of constant thought. So which means one can remember something at the time of death only if one has been constantly thinking of it. You see here, that's what this verse says. Yamyam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram means whatever one thinks of when leaving the body, samtameva eti. One attains a state similar to that object of constant thought. Sadatad bhava bhavitaha. So this verse only very clearly says, whatever you think of constantly, only that state you will be able to think at the time of death. Tvime ananya vishaya matir madupate asakrit. Ratim udvahata dadda gange vogam udanvati. As Kunti Maharani says, only at the stage of bhava and prema, one can constantly think of Krishna. Mayyeva mana adatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya. Nivashishyasi mayyeva ata urdvam na samshayaha. So the constant remembrance of Krishna is possible only when we attain the stage of perfection of bhava or prema. Before that, one cannot have constant perfection, which means if we don't have constant perfection, we cannot remember Krishna at the time of death. So therefore, Krishna says in the next verse, tasmat, therefore, sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, mamanusmara yudhyacha, remember me and fight. Mayyarpitamano buddhir mame vaishyasya samshayaha. In this way, if you invest your mind and intelligence in me, you will attain me without any doubt. So, investing or offering one's mind to Krishna means all of one's emotions should be in relationship with Krishna, not in relationship with things or people of this world. So that is the meaning of investing one's mind, offering one's mind. And offering of one's intelligence means the intelligence is always calculating what will please Krishna. What can I do to please Krishna? So that is the meaning of mayyarpita mano buddhi. So such a person, that is the meaning of always engaging. Always mamanusmara yudhyacha means practically all emotions are offered to Krishna. Whatever emotions we have through our mind are in relationship with Krishna and not with things or people of this world. So now someone may say, oh, that is difficult. Then Krishna says, okay, that doesn't, if that doesn't come spontaneously to you, then you may practice it. Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. If that does not come naturally to you, then practice it. Practice remembering Krishna at all the time. And then, even though there are many ways of remembering Krishna at all the time, here, because the primary theme being Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti or predominant bhakti, Krishna gives that one type of predominant bhakti to remember Krishna, which is through Yoga Mishra Bhakti. So Yoga Mishra Bhakti is where it is predominantly bhakti, but it is tinged with one's attachment to Ashtanga Yoga also, or the mystic yoga. So he says, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredyah Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasa Parastat Prayana Kale Manasachalena Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva Bruvor Madhye Pranam Avesha Samyak Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Divyam. Okay. So he gives this path of Yoga Mishra Bhakti where one tries to fix his mind on Krishna by concentrating between the eyebrows by the practice of Ashtanga Yoga mixed with some devotion, or devotion mixed with some Ashtanga Yoga. And in this way, he meditates on Krishna as the omniscient, as the beginningless, as the teacher, and so on. And Krishna says such a person definitely attains the transcendental position by this path of Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Okay. And then he says, Yadaksharam Veda Vido Vadanti Vishanti Adyateyo Vitaragaha Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pravakshe. He says, now I will speak, along with the method, I will also speak the final goal of such practitioners. And the great sannyasis practice this path by giving up attachment. They practice celibacy in order to attain this goal. So what is this path? Sarvadvarani sanyamya manohridi nirudhyacha murdanyadhyatmana pranam mastito yogadaranam omityekaksharam brahma vyaharan ma manusmaran yaprayati tajan deham sayati paramamgatim. He who leaves his body while withdrawing the senses from sense object, which is pratyahara, manohridi nirudhyacha, while concentrating the mind in the heart, which is dharana, murdanyadhyatmana pranamastitaha, while fixing the prana in the ajna chakra, you know, this is like dharana, yoga dharanam, completely absorbing his thoughts in me and uttering om and remembering me constantly, he attains my planet. So he attains what is called as salokya mukti. So attaining the planet of Krishna does not necessarily refers to attaining a relationship with Krishna. It is staying in the same planet as Krishna. So these mixed devotees, they never get prema. They never establish a relationship with Krishna because they don't want it also. So here it is very clearly mentioned, he attains salokyam, salokya mukti, the same. So this is yoga mishra bhakti, bhakti mixed with some yoga. Okay. So now, then Krishna also talks about pure devotional service. To contrast it with whatever yoga mishra bhakti he had mentioned, so he contrasts it by presenting the path of pure devotional service. Ananya chetaha satatam yomam smarati nityashah tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginah. So he says that the devotee who remembers me daily, satatam, at all times, ananya chetaha, without getting deviated by any other process or any other goals, anya vilashita shunyam jnana karma dhyanavritam, the goal is pure, the means to attain that goal is pure, and he is constantly thinking of Krishna. For what purpose? Nitya yuktasya, for establishing an eternal relationship with Krishna. Such a person, tasya aham sulabha partha, for such a person, I am very easy to attain. I am easily attained by that person who performs pure devotional service. Okay. So, like that. And then he says, Mamupetya punarjanma dukkale mashashvatam napnuvanti mahatmanaha samsiddhim paramam gataha. Attaining me, those great souls do not return to this dukkalayam ashashvatam janma, to this birth which is full of suffering and temporariness. Because he has attained the highest goal of establishing a relationship with me, they do not take birth again. On the contrary, abrahma bhuvanal lokan punaravartino arjuna mam petyat kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. On the other hand, within this material world, wherever you go, till even brahma loka, you will have to come again and take birth. But mam upetyat kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate, but if you attain me, there is no rebirth. So he contrasts this. But someone may say, you are talking about Brahma Loka, the planet in which Brahma lives. You know, it is glorified in the Shastras as Nayatra Shoko Najarana Mrityur. Like that it is mentioned. There is no Shoka Moha, there is no fear, there is no death, like that. So you are telling that even Abrahma Bona Loka Punar Avartino Arjuna. What do you mean? He says, no. The Shastras may talk like that, but it is not that literally there is no death in Brahmaloka. No one may die in Brahmaloka, but they may come down to Bhuloka and die. So they are not guaranteed liberation even in Brahmaloka. సహస్రయుగ పర్యంతం అహర్యద్ బ్రహ్మణో విదుహు రాత్రిం యుగ సహస్రాంతం తేహో రాత్ర విదోజన. అర్జున, జస్ట్ లైక్ యు ఆర్ అ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్, యువర్ వన్ డే ఇస్ 24 అవర్స్, లైక్ దట్ వన్ మంత్ ఇస్ 30 డేస్, 12 మంత్స్ ఇస్ 1 ఇయర్, లైక్ దట్ 100 ఇయర్స్ యూ లివ్. ఓకే, బ్రహ్మాజీ సమ్టైమ్స్ పీపుల్ స్టేయింగ్ ఇన్ ది ప్లానెట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, ఇట్ మే బి దే మే బి సెట్ టు బి ఎటర్నల్, బట్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఎటర్నల్. బ్రహ్మాజీస్ లైఫ్ స్పాన్, జస్ట్ లైక్ యువర్ వన్ డే ఇస్ 24 అవర్స్, బ్రహ్మాజీస్ వన్ డే అండ్ వన్ నైట్ ఈస్ 2000 చతుర్యుగాస్, అండ్ వన్ చతుర్యుగ ఈస్ 43,20,000 ఇయర్స్, లైక్ ద 2000 చతుర్యుగాస్ ఇస్ వన్ డే ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, మీన్స్ 124 అవర్స్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, 1000 ప్లస్ 1000. లైక్ దట్ బ్రహ్మాజీ వన్ మంత్ ఇస్ 30 డేస్, 1 ఇయర్ ఇస్ 12 మంత్స్, లైక్ దట్ 100 ఇయర్స్ బ్రహ్మ లివ్స్. బ్రహ్మాస్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎటర్నల్, అండ్ అట్ ద ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మ, ఇఫ్ దట్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ నాట్ ఇఫ్ దట్ బ్రహ్మ ఇస్ నాట్ ఎయిదర్ క్వాలిఫైడ్ ఫర్ లిబరేషన్ ఆర్ ప్రేమ, then even that Brahma has to take birth again in the next life. He is not even guaranteed liberation. He has to take birth again. He has to take birth and die. So, there is no guarantee. Abrahma bhuvanalloka punaravartino arjuna. Mamupetyatu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. But if you attain me, there is no rebirth. Therefore, Bhagavatam says, తస్యైవ హేతోః ప్రయతేత కోవిదో నలభ్యతే యద్ భ్రమతాం ఉపర్యతః తల్లభ్యతే దుఃఖవదన్యవత్ అన్యత సుఖం కాలేన సర్వత్ర గభీర రంభసా. Therefore an intelligent person should aspire for that end which is not available after roaming through these 14 planetary systems including satyaloka. What is available within this 14 planetary systems is temporary. One should endeavor for that which is not available in the 14 planetary systems. Okay. So, that's what he says. So, even Brahmaji is afraid of death. Avyakta vyaktayas sarva prabhavantyaharagame ratryagame praliyante tatraiva vaktasamke. And during the, at the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the body of Mahavishnu. And when the night falls, at least the living entities in the bottom 10 planetary systems, they go into the body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And at the end of Brahma's lifespan, all the living entities who are not qualified for liberation, they enter into the body of Mahavishnu and wait till the next creation to come out. భూతగ్రామస ఏవాయం భూత్వా భూత్వా ప్రళీయతే రాత్ర్యాగమే వశ పార్థ ప్రభవత్యహరాగమే. ఇన్ దిస్ వే ద సేమ్ సైకిల్ కీప్స్ రిపీటింగ్. అట్ నైట్ దే ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ద బాడీ ఆఫ్ గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు, ఇన్ ద డే దే కమ్అట్ అండ్ దే గెట్ బాడీస్, దే ట్రై టు ఎంజాయ్ అండ్ సఫర్ ఇన్ దిస్ మెటీరియల్ వరల్డ్, అండ్ అట్ నైట్ అగైన్ దే ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ద బాడీ ఆఫ్ గర్భోదక సాయి విష్ణు. ఓకే, పరస్తస్మాత్తు భావో అన్యో అవ్యక్తో అవ్యక్తాత్ సనాతనః యస్స సర్వేషు భూతేషు నశ్యత్సు న వినశ్యతి. బట్ సుపీరియర్ టు దిస్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ బ్రహ్మాస్ నైట్ ఇస్ అన్యః సనాతనః అవ్యక్త భావః. బట్ సుపీరియర్ టు దిస్ థింగ్ ఇస్ అనదర్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్ స్టేట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఎటర్నల్, yah na vinashyati, and this does not get destroyed. When sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu, when everything gets destroyed, this does not get destroyed. So avyaktokshare ityuktastamahu paramam gatim yam prapya nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. That which was described as eternal and unmanifest is the supreme goal. Attaining that eternal form, they do not return back again. One does not return back again. Okay. So, That's what that so here dham refers to eternal form, but dham also refers to light. So for the practitioners of jnana, the path of jnana and yoga, tad dham paramam mama refers to the brahma jyoti, and for the practitioners of bhakti, tad dham paramam mama refers to the abode of the Lord or a relationship with Krishna. But either way, yam prapyane nivartante tad dhama paramam mama, one who attains either the abode of the Lord or the brahma jyoti of the Lord, they don't return back again. Interestingly, we had the exact same discussion in the morning, and we were discussing the same point, and very interestingly we are going to discuss the same section in the evening. Very, very, very sweet coincidence. So this is where we ended our discussion, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks back. Okay, so let's continue this discussion further. But before we continue, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on whatever we have summarized today, we will take before we move further. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. You can either raise your hands or you can type your questions in the chat box, whatever you feel comfortable. Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Okay, yes, Sukhava Mataji.
Sorry, I was having trouble getting on the thing. Thank you so much for your explanation. I have just two questions. The one question is, it seems that although Brahma lives 100 years, which is much more than our 100 years, it seems, this is just my mind, but like an ant, his whole life is maybe only, what, a week or two of our life? But it seems like a whole lifetime for the ant. You know, so is it kind of similar, like there's not, the time factor is kind of all relative?
Yeah, yeah.
Years, it doesn't really.
Yeah, in one sense, like we may think that a mosquito life is so small, but the mosquito experiences its whole life as, you know, a full cycle, you know,
yes.
Birth, okay. Growth and everything, you know, full-fledged old age and everything. So similarly, Brahmaji, 100 years, he experiences it just like a human being experiences his 100 years. It's not like, yeah, my God, so much time, I'm getting really bored. It's not like that. You know.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That was my assumption. And then the other thing, I'm reading about Ajmer this morning, and you know, you were saying that just because someone casually chants Krishna's name at the time of death doesn't mean that they're really remembering Krishna, but actually they need to realize and have a relationship. But then there's this whole long section about Ajmer and a whole description about how chanting Hare Krishna is the perfect atonement for all of our sins. And it just seems...
Mataji, I think your voice is really breaking a lot.
Yeah, it's because let me just put my headset on.
Yeah, if you can, it would be very helpful, actually.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, this is better. Yeah. Better.
I am so sorry. I forgot I had the headset off. Yeah. So I've been reading about Ajmer, and you know, you were saying how just if we chant Hare Krishna, it's not a casual remembrance, doesn't mean like a casual chanting of Krishna's name, but it's like a realization. Mm-hmm. But then we read about Ajmer and how he chanted the name of his son. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you're reading about how chanting Hare Krishna is the perfect atonement for all of our sins. So how do we balance that out in respect to what you're saying? Because, I mean, I really do experience myself that it is about realization. It's not just, you know, a chanting of Hare Krishna, although that is helpful. How does that all work?
Yeah. Thank you for asking, Madhuri. Actually, Ajamila's case is very unique case. And also often not completely understood case, actually. The Ajamila's case is very unique in the sense, somehow, even Ajamila casually chanted the holy name, not even calling for the Supreme Lord, but calling for his son. But interestingly, Ajamil did not have any residue of any offenses. So therefore, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, of course, it's a very, very, very long, the longest purport of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Srimad Bhagavatam. It runs into maybe 25-page purport or something like that. So in that, he explains the whole case of Ajamil. I am going to just summarize it in a few sentences.
Thank you.
So the case of Ajamil is that very unique case of no offenses. So therefore, when the very first time, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that, you know, in bhakti, we have 9 stages. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema, like that. But why there are 9 stages? He says, because we all have residual offenses. But if someone has no offenses, then there are only 2 stages, which is chanting the holy name and Krishna Prema. That's all. There is no intermediate stage. And apparently, Ajamil had very, very residual offenses. That is one understanding. And also, Ajamil did not go back home back to Godhead. Just that the Vishnudutas came and stopped the Yamadutas. But Vishnudutas did not take Ajamil back to Vaikuntha immediately. Another many years, I think 12 years or so, Ajamil actually performed his sadhana after going to Haridwar, and he perfectly chanted and perfectly performed his sadhana, and then he attained perfection. It is not that Ajamil, the Vishnudutas came, and so the Vishnudutas came to stop the Yamadutas from unjustly taking Ajamil to Yamaloka.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the case. So it's not that Ajamil went back to the spiritual world just by casual chanting, just that. So the and every pastime has a particular focus. The focus of Ajamil's pastime is the potency of the holy name.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to establish the potency of holy name, a very extreme story of Ajamil is presented, where he had very residual offenses, but in most of the cases that is not generally the case.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also in the case of Ajamil, even though the Vishnudutas came, when Ajamil, after they drove away the Yamadutas, when Ajamil wanted to look at them and speak to them, the next moment they were gone. They were not even to be seen, and they did not take him back.
Right.
So then, because he got really benefited by the association and instructions of the Vishnudutas, he goes to Haridwar and perfectly practices bhakti for 12 years and perfects that bhakti, and then he goes back home back to God, like that.
Right. Yes. Thank you so much. That makes it more clear. And then just one other quick question. The purport, it says something like, Ajamil did not chant purely in that moment, but he was chanting offenselessly. And so I guess then in 12 more years, you know, he really, you know, he got the wake up call, and then he really focused. And
yeah.
Because, yeah, that's yes. What that means. Right? Then he, yeah. Then he had to perfect and become pure. Thank
yeah.
you for clearing that, because I think sometimes that pastime is very often misused.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you
Thank
so
you,
much.
Please. Thank you. Okay. Okay. There are some questions in the chat box. Let's take that. Is there any possibility of those attaining Brahma Jyoti of getting promoted to Goloka later on? I think the same question came in the morning also. Yeah, possibility is definitely there. Because Bhagavatam says, Yatsyat Sarvatra Sarvada. It is possible to practice bhakti under any circumstances, anywhere, by anyone. Theoretical possibility is there, but Brahma Jyoti is not the most favorable place to practice because there is no favorable association. So therefore, it may not be the most favorable place, but it is definitely not impossible. And in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is mentioned that how sometimes great devotees like Lord Shiva go to even Brahma Jyoti to preach. So it's not impossible, but it's not very favorable also. Okay, next question. When you say that only those who are at the stage of bhava and prema, they go back to Krishna, does it mean going back to Goloka Vrindavan? Yeah, I mean, if the object of worship is the form of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, then they will go to Goloka Vrindavan. But someone may have bhava and prema for the forms of Lord Narayana, Lord Narasimha, etc. They will go to Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, there are people who go there after practicing pure devotional service also. But one can go to Vaikuntha after by practicing mixed devotional service also. You know, this Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, practitioners of these practices, they can also go to Vaikuntha, but they will not get prema. They will get Salokya Mukti, or at the most they may get what is called as Shanta Rati, which is a very preliminary, peripheral relationship with Krishna, like that, not a closer one. And they don't want it also, actually. Okay, anything else before we move on to today's discussion? Okay, if there is none, let's continue our discussion. So, Srila Krishna continues.
Purushasaparapartha bhaktya labhyastvananyaya yasyantastani bhutani yena sarvamidam tatam.
So what was the previous verse? He says, avyaktokshara ityukta stamahu paramam gatim yam prapya nivartante tad dhama paramam mama. So after attaining my dhama, either it means my abode or Brahman, one does not come back again, he says. And then in the next verse, he says, Saha Paraha Purushaha, that supreme person, Yasya Antastani Bhutani, within whom exist all the living entities, Yena Sarva Midam Tatam, and by which this universe is pervaded, Ananyaya Bhaktyatu Labhyaha. If you want to attain that person, not his abode, if you want to attain that person, which means a relationship with that person, Ananyaya Bhaktyatu Labhyaha. The word tu is used to contrast. His place you may be able to attain by Mishra Bhakti, but if you want to attain a relationship with him, it is possible only by Ananya Bhakti, only by pure devotional service. Relationship with Krishna, pure devotional service. You want to go to his abode, mixed devotion is good enough. But if you want a relationship, that is possible only through pure devotional service. That is, so in order to create the contrast, the word tu is used. Tu. So you would start a sentence with the word but. When you want to present a contrasting scenario. So, in my house, everything is white, but means you are going to contrast. You know, no one will say, in my house, everything is white, but the curtain is also white. You know, you don't make a statement like that. So a more appropriate thing would be, in my house, everything is white, but the curtain is gray. That makes sense, you know. So the word but is used to create a contrast. So here he says, that supreme person, but that supreme person is attained only by pure devotional service. Bhaktya labhyastu ananyaya. Okay. So here Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says, that supreme person who is just my amsha cannot be known by any other means which have in them desires for karma yoga or jnana yoga. As I previously said, ananya chetaha satatam. So only by pure devotional service can one attain a relationship with Krishna, not by any other means, not by mixed devotional service. So then Krishna, in the next, he starts describing. So this is the section that we discussed today morning also. And very coincidentally, we are discussing this exact same section in the evening. Yatra kale tvanavrittim avrittim chaiva yoginaha prayata yantitam kalam vakshami Bharata Rishabha. O Bharata Rishabha, O best of Bharata's lineage, vakshami, I shall now explain yatra kale, about the paths. Even though the word kale indicates time, but in this context, the word kale indicates path. Yoginaha, by which the yogis anavrittim avrittim chaiva, by which the yogis return or do not return, which path if they take they return, and which path if they take they do not return, I am going to tell you about that. Krishna tells Arjuna. Okay, so why suddenly Krishna is speaking about this? Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur says that you have said in verse 21, Arjuna says, O Krishna, you have said in verse 21 that anyone who attains you does not come back. Yam prapya ninuvartante. But you have not mentioned about any particular path that the devotee must traverse. Since the devotee is beyond the gunas, his path is also beyond the gunas, not a sattvic path such as going through the sun planet. But I am asking about the path taken by the yogis, jnanis and karmis. So Arjuna says, yes, yes, because the devotee is ananya, because he is nirguna, beyond the three modes, the path that he takes to attain you must also be beyond the three modes. So I am not asking you about the path that the devotees take, but I am asking you about the path that these yogis and jnanis take, and the karmis take. What is the path that they take? So Krishna says, I will speak about the path of return and no return that they traverse when they have died. In the footnote, His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj says, Kala usually means time, but in this context, it means path. Okay. So what is that path? So first she describes the path of no return. Okay, the path of no return. Agnir Jyotir Ahashukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vido Janaha. So the path of no return is actually what is called, what we discussed in the morning as Krama Mukti, or gradual liberation. Okay. Or this is also called as the path of Brahmapatha. Or Archiradi Marga. These are the various names that are given to this particular path of liberation. So generally, this kind of liberation is attained by those people who want liberation eventually, but they may also have tinges of curiosity to check out the various enjoyment options available in this material world. They are like, look, I do want liberation. That's my goal. But not before checking out the menu card in this material world. What is available? What is it that I can enjoy in this material world? I mean, not that I want to settle down and enjoy here. Definitely not. I wish to go and attain liberation. I am very clear about it. But I am definitely curious to check out what are the various grades of enjoyment which are available in this material world. So that kind of, he has some secondary desires, secondary goals. Even though his primary goal is definitely to attain liberation, Sayujya Mukti. So this path, so in such cases, as Bhagavatam elaborates more on such kind of practitioners, they are not outright materialists. So they are actually yogis. Etam gatim karmabir napnuvanti vidya tapo yoga samadhi bhajam. Like that it is mentioned, morning's Bhagavatam class we saw. You know, these yogis do not attain these abodes. So what happens is, they attain, before attaining Brahman, they gradually go to different planetary systems in which there is subtler and subtler and subtler types of enjoyment. So they will go there, enjoy a particular level of enjoyment, give up that body, give up that level of desire, and then they will go to the next planet where they will get even subtler enjoyment, subtler material enjoyment. They will enjoy, give up that body. Okay, they will enjoy, give up that body, and then give up that level of desire, and then they will go to the next body. So in this way, when they are moving from one planet to the next planet, their subtle body becomes subtler and subtler and subtler and subtler till it completely vanishes before they enter into Brahma Jyoti. Okay. Whereas the more serious type of yogis who have only primary goal, their goal is liberation and they don't have any of these secondary goals to check out the various varieties of enjoyment available in the material world, such people, they attain instant liberation. So when they give up their gross body, along with their gross body, they give up their subtle body also. So along with their gross body, they give up their subtle body instantaneously. Okay. So in this way, but these yogis, they do not give up their subtle body instantaneously. At the time of death, they travel along with their subtle body. Just like any other ordinary living entity who transmigrates from one gross body to another gross body. But the only difference is that ordinary living entities transmigrate from one gross body to another gross body on the strength of their karma. But these living entities, these yogis who are little inferior yogis, who have these secondary desires, they do not go from one body to another body, and these two bodies are in two different planets. This transmigration happens not on the strength of their karma, but this transmigration happens on the strength of their yogic practice. Okay, on the strength of their yogic practice, they go from one planet to another planet. Okay, and when they go to these planets, because they are going to these planets not on the strength of their karma, so there is no question of returning back to Bhuloka when the piety gets over. There is no question, because they are not going there on the strength of their piety. They are going there on the strength of their yogic practice. So, they are very exalted personalities who go to these planets. To the extent that the presiding deity of that planet comes and personally receives them and personally facilitates their enjoyment in that particular planet. And when these yogis feel satisfied, okay, my curiosity is now satisfied, I am now ready to move on to the next planet. So they give up that particular gross body and their subtle body becomes subtler because that gross level of desires are given up. Then the presiding deity of that planet escorts them to the next planet and hand them over to the presiding deity of the next planet, where even subtler level of enjoyment is available. And that presiding deity then facilitates their enjoyment in the next planet. Like that, they move from one planet to the next planet, to the next planet, to the next planet. And when they move from one planet to the next planet, they give up that body, gross body, and then give up a part of that subtle body, and then they move on like that. So in this way, when they are traversing this path, their subtle body becomes subtler and subtler and subtler before it completely vanishes. You know, this morning I was giving this example of this direct mukti or this direct liberation is like when someone has, grape juice in a glass. But you say that, oh, I don't want grape juice. I want a glass of water. Can you just give me a glass of water? So what you do? You either throw away that grape juice and fill that glass with water and hand it over to them. Okay. Or someone may do keep adding water to that glass of grape juice. More water, more water, more water. So that grape juice gets diluted and diluted and diluted and diluted. And after long dilution, it is no longer grape juice, it remains only water. Okay. But this is a very time-consuming process. So in this way, this Krama Mukti is a very time-consuming process. This path of gradual path. Why it is time-consuming? Because they have the secondary desire, curiosity. Curiosity to check out, what is it that people are dying for in this material world? I just to check out what it is, what they are so excited about, like that. Of course, this path is described in much more detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. We will not get into all those details here. But he says that Krishna is telling Arjuna that I am going to tell you the path by which the yogis return. And the path by which the yogis do not return. First, I will tell you the path by which the yogis do not return. And here he says, the knowers of Brahman. Okay. The knowers of Brahman, the jnanis. Okay. So he says, the knowers of Brahman, the jnanis, tatra prayata, who depart on the path of fire and light. So, fire is the first planet. In Bhagavatam, this is called as Vaishvanara Loka. Okay. And in the Upanishads, this planet is called the planet of Archi. Archi means flame or fire. The path of fire. And then the path of light. So this is called the Shushumna in Bhagavatam terminology. Like that. And then there is the planet of the waxing fortnight, the planet of the northern progress of the sun, Uttarayan. So all of this, and then finally there are like 12 intermediate destinations till they finally reach the 13th destination, which is Brahman. They attain Brahman. Brahma Gacchanti. Okay. So, And what does Krishna say? This is the path of no return. This is the path of no return, which means those who go to Brahman do not return back. Those who go to Brahman do not return back. That is what Bhagavatam says. That is what Bhagavatam says in many places. Bhagavad Gita also indicates that. Here Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur commenting on this, he says, he speaks in this verse about the path of no return. That is the first line of the purport. This is the path of no return. And what do the yogis attain? They attain Brahman. They attain Brahman and they do not come back. Right? This is what we were discussing in the morning, and also earlier we had discussed this also. The Shastras are very clear that Brahman is a destination attaining which the yogis do not return back. But Prabhupada often says, the yogis fall down from Brahma Jyoti or Brahman. Okay. We were discussing about how Prabhupada compassionately de-glamorizes Brahma Jyoti so that people do not get attracted to it. Because to appreciate the spiritual world, one should have an appreciation of spiritual relationships and spiritual emotions, which look sometimes very similar to material relationships and material emotions. Okay. You often see the Vrajavasis crying and lamenting and not eating and growing thin and feeling separation and all that, and all kinds of anxiety, lamentation. And for a person who is trying to escape material miseries and not having sufficient spiritual maturity to appreciate the spiritual relationships and spiritual emotions, for him, the prospect of Brahma Jyoti is actually very attractive. So the prospect of Brahma Jyoti is very attractive. He thinks, wow, you know, there is no material miseries. I am really excited about it. He may feel like that. So the prospect of Brahma Jyoti may be very attractive to a person who is frustrated with this material world and not having sufficient spiritual credits to appreciate spiritual relationships and spiritual emotions. Okay. So therefore, Brahma Jyoti can be very, very attractive. But once he accepts Brahma Jyoti, or the path of attaining Brahma Jyoti, there will be no solid impetus to practice devotional service and attain bhava or prema or a relationship with Krishna. So therefore, just to distract the beginner devotee from getting attracted to Brahma Jyoti, out of compassion, Prabhupada says, oh no, this Brahma Jyoti is temporary. Anyone who goes there, he comes back. But in reality, this is not true. This is just a compassionate de-glamorization of Brahma Jyoti by Srila Prabhupada. And this has been done by all the acharyas in our parampara. Absolute is sentient, thou has proved. Impersonal calamities, thou has removed. When Srila Prabhupada wrote about his own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhartha Thakur, this was just a small paragraph in a big poem that he had written. But these two lines caught the attention of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhartha Thakur. He liked it so much that he told the editors of Sajjana Toshani that whatever this person writes, you should publish it. This was personally told by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhartha Thakur. And why he got so inspired? Because he understood the essence of Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhartha Thakur's preaching. Absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamities, thou hast removed. Right? So, and about our six Goswamis, it is mentioned. Kaivalya Nistarakau. That one very important aspect of their mission is to save the devotees from the jaws of impersonal liberation. As if impersonal liberation is like the devouring jaws of a shark or a crocodile. Yes, when impersonal liberation devours a person, then that soul eternally loses his ability to completely realize his constitutional position. It gets only partially realized. It is like a premature child. So it is like a premature, you know, going to the Brahmajyoti is like the birth of a premature child in the sixth month or seventh month. The child takes birth with improper mental development, improper physical development, you know, and he remains that way throughout his life. This is the cost that we have to pay to get attracted to the second best prospect. To the second best prospect. So therefore the second best prospect has to be deglamorized so that the person pursues the best prospect available, which is Krishna Prema, a spiritual relationship. So for the living entities, the most discouraging thing is to say, this is very good, but you can't have it all the time. It is only temporarily available for you. That's a very disappointing thing. So Prabhupada disappoints the pursuers by telling, this is all temporary, like that. But in reality, it is not temporary. So that is what is happening here. So here Krishna is telling, Agnir Jyotir Ahash Shukla Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayata Gachanti Brahma Brahma Vidojana. So some kind of yogis, they go through this path of Archiradi Marga or Brahmapata, or this gradual liberation, where they go from one planet to the next planet to the next planet, enjoying subtler and subtler and subtler levels of enjoyment, and eventually attaining Brahman. And Srila Vishwanatha Thakur starts this, commentary by telling he speaks in this verse about the path of no return. The path of no return. The words Agnir Jyotir, fire and light, indicate the presiding deity of the sun according to the Shruti statement. Te Archisham Abhisambhavanti. They go to the sun planet. Archi, I told, right? Archiradi Marga, the first. Ahaha indicates the deity of the day. Shukla indicates the deity of the fortnight of the waxing moon. The 6 months of Uttarayan means the deity who presides over the Uttarayana. The jnanis, the Brahma Vidaha, who go on the path of these devatas, attain Brahman. They attain Brahman, which he says, he speaks in this verse about the path of no return, which is attaining Brahman, which is the path of no return. As the Shruti says, Te Archisham Abhisambhavanti Archisho Arachna Apuryamana Paksham Apuryamana Pakshad Yan Shan Masa Anudannaditya Eti Malebhyo Devalokam. They reach the deity of fire. From there they go to the deity of the day. From there to the deity of the waxing fortnight. And from there to the Uttarayan deity, says Chandogya Upanishad. like that. So this is the path of no return, which the jnanis and the yogis pursue for attaining Brahma Jyoti or Brahman. Okay. So next he will speak about the path of return which the karma yogis take. Okay. But before we go to discuss that path, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Either you can raise your hands or type your questions in the chat box, whatever you feel comfortable. Anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can go ahead. Yes, Kesha Priya Madhavi.
Hi, Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranams. Prabhuji, as we discussed in the morning, Prabhuji, like Krishna himself, before starting this shloka, the previous shloka, he is very clearly is telling one who wants to attain Purusha, they have to follow Ananya Bhakti. Then only he is starting this shloka, no, Prabhuji. Mm-hmm. So the process, that Ananya Bhakti process, entirely to go to the Purusha, like Goloka, Prabhuji. So anyways, one who follows that, they're not going to land in this Brahma Jyoti, no, Prabhuji. Like Brahma Jyoti, the process mixed devotion, like they, because they don't develop any positive impression for the Lord or his devotees. They will be having some neutral state, no, Prabhuji. They don't have any emotions, like either in the 4.10 you are telling, no, Prabhuji, like they are still fearful of our attachment, everything, like they don't want any positive emotions. So this is mixed devotion pathway, and that is Ananya Bhakti, is a pure bhakti pathway, Prabhuji. So why is that? All you are explaining about this, no, Prabhuji, de-glamorizing Brahma Jyoti. Anyways, a devotee following this process, if he fails, definitely he will be given birth again to continue. That's what 6th chapter we see, no, Prabhuji, like again he will be continuing. That is for yogi.
That 6th chapter is for yogi.
Yogi. But still, Prabhuji, like Swalpam Abhisadharam Chatrayato Magato Bhaya, in that you were telling, no, Prabhuji, Prabhupada is also writing, like if you leave at 10%, then you'll be starting from 11%. You'll be given a chance again to continue the devotion service only, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm asking. Like, why should we be glad? Like, our pathway is nowhere for Brahma Jyoti, no, Prabhuji.
Nay, our path is not for Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah.
But if
even Prabhupada, if we fail, we will not land there. No, that's what I'm asking.
Even if we fail, we will not land there. Yes, we will,
Prabhuji,
not land there.
Yes,
but we can be attracted to that place.
Hmm. If
Prabhupada would have explained Brahma Jyoti as it is.
Oh.
Prabhupada did not.
That's
what I told in the morning also.
Same
question, I gave the same answer in the morning also.
Oh.
So if Prabhupada would have spoken about Brahma Jyoti as it is, then we would have become attracted.
But for that, we don't need the, like Prabhuji, like we are meeting a devotee, we are getting information about Krishna, we get to know about a person called Krishna, and all these things are not needed
information. It is Sukriti.
Sukriti, yeah, Prabhuji, but like, only because with that only we'll be able to go there, no, Prabhuji. With that Sukriti only we need Sukriti, no, Prabhuji, for in our process. But for that, for this one, just entering into Brahma Jyoti, we don't need any relationship, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one person who is explaining that cannot explain this. So for that is why Prabhupada is de-glamorizing. Is it, Prabhuji?
Yeah. If you get attracted to Brahma Jyoti, then you will not be willing to pursue the path which will lead to a relationship with Krishna. So till one gets sufficient, one becomes sufficiently devotionally mature to understand and appreciate the glories of spiritual relationships, till then one has to be shielded from the influence of attraction to Brahma Jyoti.
Correct. You told that, TJ. Okay.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, and all these things, this sloka, what you explained, that one who lives at their fortnight, like their Uttarayana, so all these things, Prabhuji, it is our different destination, the yogi, Prabhuji, and the yogi who is going, even the Mishra Bhakti yogi, you know, Prabhuji, like, he undergoes various level of purification before this itself also. You said, no, Prabhuji, every plant he enters in his subtle level, he is cleaning and he is going away. I mean, he progresses above, no, Prabhuji, but he follows Nishkama Karma Yoga and that itself cleanses him sufficiently. And in the sixth chapter, we see, no, Prabhuji, that he enters even Samadhi to that level. Like
it's, No, that is different. That is... A Paramatma meditating yogi. He is a high class yogi. This is not
that's direct meditation.
Yeah, that is direct liberation.
Oh,
this is gradual liberation.
Oh. So he still has some contamination.
Secondary goals, not contamination. Secondary goals.
Okay, so that in that sixth chapter, that yogi goes directly to Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah.
One who attains samadhi, they can go directly to Brahma Jyoti.
Yeah.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share as that? Okay, there is another question. In Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, we get Bhakti Beej. Will we be attracted to Brahman? This is very important. Very good question. We will not be attracted to Brahman because the acharyas are dedicated to protect us from getting attracted to Brahman, like what Prabhupada is doing here. And that is a part of the bij only. That is the part of the seed. The part of the seed is this deglamorization process also. That is why. Because seed is not something very abstract. Seed indicates particular faith and attraction. And that particular faith and attraction comes through personalities who shine light at some place and do not shine light at other places. So what Prabhupada is doing is actually a process of bestowing that seed upon the practitioners. That is also a part of that seed. So this is very much a part of our receiving the seed of devotion. Like that. Anything else? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion further. So the next he says, the path by which the yogi returns. So this is the karma yogi. The previous was jnana yogi and ashtanga yogi. Now, the path by which the karma yogi returns. Dhumo ratristata krishnaha shanmasa dakshinayanam tatra chandramasam jyotir yogi prapya nivartate. Dhumaha ratrihi tata krishnaha. Departing on the path of smoke, the night, the waning fortnight, shanmasa dakshinayanam, the sudden course of the sun, tatra chandramasam jyotir prapya, attaining swargaloka, yogi nivartate, the karma yogi returns back. So by this path, so that path was the agnir jyotir ahashukla shanmasa uttarayanam. So that is a different path. So this is the path of return, where the karma yogi through this path reaches Swargaloka and then he returns back. Shine Punye Martelokam Vishanti. So he attains, after his piety gets over, he returns back to the material world. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur says, this verse describes the path of return taken by the Karmi or Karma Yogi. Smoke indicates the deity of smoke, and similarly, night indicates the deity of night. Similarly, there are the deity of the dark fortnight and the deity of the Dakshinayana. They have deity and they have a planet in which they are there. And they are the presiding deity of that planet. So the living entity goes there enjoying, and then he goes till Swarga, and then when the piety gets over, he comes back like that. So the Karma Yogi who goes on the path represented by these devatas attains Swarga, indicated by the word Chandramasam Jyotihi. That indicates Swarga. Having enjoyed there, he returns. When his piety gets over, he returns back. Okay. So like that, you know, on one path, they return back. On the other path, they do not return back. Right. So then he says, Shukla Krishne Gatihyete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yatyana Vrityam Anyaya Vartate Punaha. Yete Shukla Krishne Gati. These two parts of the light and the darkness, Jagataha Shashvate Mate, are accepted in this world as being without beginning. Since the beginning, since the time the living entities came to this material world, which is without beginning, these two paths have been available. You take the path of return, or you can take the path of no return. Like that. So he says, Yekaya yati anavrittim. By one path one does not return. Anyaya vartate punaha. Anyaya avartate punaha. And by the other path one returns. So the path, by the path of Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga to attain Brahman, one does not return back. And by the path of Karma Yoga to attain Swarga, one returns back. So here, Srila Vishnachakadaku says, the Lord summarizes the two paths mentioned. They are considered without beginning, Shashvate, since the transmigration of the Jiva is without beginning. Okay. By the path of light, one attains no return, and by the path of darkness, one takes birth again and again on the earth. So this is for the, you know, the Karma Yogi and the inferior Jnana Yogi. But then Krishna says, Naite Sriti Partha Janan Yogi Muyati Kaschana Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhavarjuna. Yogi Janan, the yogi who knows Yete Sriti, these two paths, Na Muyati Kaschana, he is never bewildered. The yogi who knows both these paths is not bewildered. Tasmat, therefore, Sarveshu Kaleshu, at all times, Yoga Yukto Bhava, have a concentrated mind, O Arjuna. Okay. So he says, knowledge of these two paths produces a sense of discrimination. This verse praises such a discrimination. Therefore, at all times you should have a concentrated mind. Okay. Be focused on your goal of what you wish to attain. Like that. So then, this is the last verse of this chapter. Finally, Krishna says, Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. Idam viditva, knowing this, yogi, the yogi endowed with devotion. Okay. Atyeti tat sarvam punya phalam, he surpasses all the pious results. Pradishtam, as declared, Vedeshu, by studying the Vedas, Yajneshu, by performing sacrifices, Tapasu, by performing austerities, Daneshu, by giving in charity. So knowing this path of no return, or this path of Yoga Mishra Bhakti, or Krishna has even described about Shuddha Bhakti briefly. So knowing these paths, you know, a yogi surpasses all pious results. There is no piety. Because if you get piety, then you will have to return back to the material world. So he actually escapes all the pious, he surpasses all the pious results. And it is mentioned that Adhyam Param Sthanam Upaiti, he attains the spiritual eternal place. He attains the spiritual eternal place. So if it is a Yoga Mishra Bhakta, it is Vaikuntha, Salokya Mukti. If it is a Shuddha Bhakta, it is Prema. Okay, like that. So Srila Krishna Chakradakur says, this verse relates the results of knowing what has been explained in this chapter. This verse relates the results of knowing what has been explained in this chapter. So in this chapter, two processes have been mainly highlighted. One is Yoga Mishra Bhakti, another is Shuddha Bhakti. The result of Yoga Mishra Bhakti is Salokya Mukti, attaining the abode of the Lord. And the result of Shuddha Bhakti is Prema. And both these persons will surpass the piety and pious and impious results, and they will attain the spiritual world, either experiencing just Salokya Mukti or Prema. Right? So, he says, surpassing all the results of other processes, the yogi possessing devotion attains the best place, which is non-material and eternal. So, Shila, footnote by Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj, he says, this seems to indicate that this verse refers to the Yoga Mishra Bhakta. A mere yogi without bhakti could not attain the place of the Lord or even liberation. A yogi with a small amount of bhakti could attain liberation. Such yogis were described in chapter 6. A devotee with some mixture of yoga, however, attains salokya. So that is Yoga Mishra Bhakta. So a yogi with no devotion remains in the material world. A yogi with some devotion attains Sahijya Mukti. A devotee with some tinges of yoga, he attains Salokya Mukti, that is Yoga Mishra Bhakti. And a pure devotee attains Prema. Okay. So here, when he says possessing devotion, it means he possesses devotion, but he also is attracted to yoga. So this actually indicates Yoga Mishra Bhakti. You know, because that is what has been primarily discussed in this particular chapter. The superiority of the devotees has been previously stated. It is made clear in this chapter. Okay. In this chapter, the superiority of devotees has also been described. As well, in this chapter, the supreme position of Ananya Bhakta amongst all types of devotees has been indicated. Not so completely, elaborately presented, but it is indicated. You know, how an Ananya Bhakta, an unalloyed devotee, is superior to is superior to all these kinds of mixed devotees like that. So thus, the commentary on the 8th chapter of the Gita for the pleasure of the devotees has been completed by the mercy of the Acharyas. This brings us to the end of 8th chapter. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask before we move forward. I mean, before we wind up for the day, of course. Wind up for the day, wind up for the week. It's Friday night and Saturday, Sunday is holiday. So, okay. Yes, there are two hands up. Yes, Champaklata Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. In the morning, I had asked this question, but since you had actually spoken about Yoga Mishra Bhakta right now, I was just thinking, Yoga Mishra Bhakta, you said, attains Salokya.
Yeah.
So, Shantarati and the Salokya, what is the difference, Prabhuji?
Shantarati is a little bit of more evolved form of this thing. So, Salokya means just the spiritual abode, Vaikuntha. Whereas Shantarati is, apart from attaining Vaikuntha, they also have a very peripheral relationship with Krishna. So Rati is the budding stage of Rasa. And Shanta is the most preliminary of all the Rasas. So Shanta Rati is a very, very peripheral relationship with Krishna. So which is still better than merely residing in the same planet as the Lord. So it has at least some peripheral relationship like that.
So in Salokya, that particular Bhakta will still be in the service of the Lord, who is in the Vishnu form, Lord Vishnu form?
Yeah, but he will not have a personal relationship with him.
But there is service, no, Prabhuji, since it is Vaikuntha, is it not so?
Service is there, but no personal relationship.
Okay, okay. So that means it's not just about service, but it's also about...
Like we are also now serving the Lord, but we don't have a personal relationship with the Lord yet. We don't have okay. one. We don't know
or,
whether we are...
We can say we are trying to enact it. Okay, so we are enacting it here right now in the sense it's a practice stage.
Yeah, practice stage, but we do not know exactly what is our relationship with Krishna. In which rasa it is, we do not know yet.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhuji.
And yeah, for them, they don't so even want to know.
Sorry. Yeah, please go ahead, Prabhuji.
And for them, they don't even want to know. They're okay. They are serving the Lord only. In what rasa? You ask them and they say, how does that matter? It doesn't matter for us. You're serving the Lord. And we are enjoying whatever he is providing us here. That's all. They don't want to go any closer than that.
But since we have been hearing the second canto of Bhagavatam and also today's discussion, what I actually am feeling is, Prabhuji, there's so much of an overlap and so much of subtle difference even within Yoga Mishra and the Brahman attained. Much actually, because for scholarly people like you may be able to make out the difference, but for a mundane person like me, it's so tough actually to even get there anywhere near the discussion, Prabhuji. Repeatedly hearing will help us.
Yeah, whatever you can grasp, you can grasp. Essence is, Shravanam Kirtanam. If that essence is clear, then all the other details, whether we can whatever little we can grasp, it's okay. That's not a major issue.
Yeah, but actually in real life, do we actually get in touch with any of this, Brahman following kind of people, Prabhuji? Even though they're there, but do they completely come to fruition in the sense, do they go to Brahman actually?
Who?
Those who are following, the Mayavadis and all these people
Mayavadis
who are actually wanting to.
Mayavadis don't go because Mayavadis do not accept personal form of the Lord. Whereas the Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis properly following the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, as Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga is described in these proper scriptures, and worshipping the personal form of the Lord, accepting the personal form of the Lord, they will go to Brahma Jyoti. But not
it almost seems impossible now, Prabhuji. 84 lakhs of asana, so many pranayam, breathing exercises. I mean, whatever is described as those eight steps and, what is this yoga practice? It is so tough, it seems now, Prabhuji. I mean,
it is what?
All the eight steps of yoga practice, Prabhuji. Uh-huh. All the Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, yeah. Pratyahara and all those things for these Ashtanga Yogis. It all seems so very tough. So, don't practically...
Tougher easy is you will say if you ask a sports person, he will say sports is very easy. Whereas if you ask a very studious person who is interested only in studies, he will say studying is very easy, sports is very difficult. So easy or difficult is very, very subjective. So what is easy, what is difficult is very subjective, highly subjective thing. So something may be very easy for someone, may be extremely difficult for the other person. And it may be the other way around also. So so we have to understand this is all subjective. There is strong subjectivity. For a person who has insufficient Sukriti, he will find Bhakti Yoga very difficult.
Mm.
But for one who has Sukriti, he will find, oh, very easy. Whereas one who has that particular kind of faith in Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga or Ashtanga Yoga, he will find those yogas very easy. So easy or difficult is all very subjective. It is all,
I can relate to, while you're even speaking, I can relate to some, you know, Himalayan yogis. We had been to the highest sector, the Dras sector in Kargil. So there, I mean, it's so very cold, and we actually came across some, you know, practitioners of yoga who have been there for a very, very long time, Prabhuji. So yeah, it's so tough, actually. I mean, it's unimaginable where we are layered with four or five sweaters, but where they just hardly wear any, just a one cloth, and they're sitting and meditating. Yeah. So yeah, what you're saying is like, even for 200 to 300 years, I heard some yogis sit and practice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that sounds very convincing, actually. What you're saying is right. Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji.
Sukha Mataji.
Yeah, thank you, people. I just wanted to ask a quick question. You said we don't know our relationship. We don't know our relationship with Krishna.
Yet.
But that doesn't mean we don't have any relationship. We don't. It doesn't mean we don't have any relationship. We're learning how to be a servant. We're like just like a child. You know, they don't have a mature relationship with their parents, but they have some relationship. Is it that we have some relationship?
Yeah, I mean,
we don't know go ahead.
Yeah, let me clarify what I meant. It means our relationship with Krishna has not yet evolved completely.
Okay.
But the difference between those mixed devotees who attain Salokya Mukti and us is that we are eagerly aspiring for that relationship to evolve.
Mm.
But for them, they are happy with whatever is that level of evolution. They are happy with that. They are not wishing for that relationship to evolve more than that.
Yeah, they're not yearning for that relationship. They're just like, this is enough for me.
Yeah, this is good enough. Like that they feel. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhu.
Dhanavad. If it is too late, then I'll keep it for the next week.
No, let's just take it. Because after it's over, we'll finish it up.
Quick doubt. You said that Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beej. So this Lata Beej, you just said that when Guru is, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, you are getting this Beej.
Mm-hmm.
That means the impersonal identity is out. Because you are getting this Bhakti Lata Beej? I mean, does that mean that Bhakti, once you get this Bhakti Lata Beej, that Shraddha and that is full in, the Shraddha becomes complete and full?
Well, good question. The Shraddha becomes complete but weak. It is complete but weak. And when it is weak, it is vulnerable to get contaminated. So So yes, from the beginning, so this is why I have always been speaking about purity of faith and strength of faith. So from the beginning only, the seed that we receive is pure. Our faith is pure. But that faith is weak. Komala Shraddha, it's called as very weak, fragile faith. So therefore, unless it is properly protected and nurtured, it can be attacked by predatory philosophies, you know, like, you know, Mayavad or, you know, other kind of mixed devotional philosophies. It is vulnerable unless it is properly fenced and shielded and properly nourished. So, but having said that, it is actually pure from the beginning. It is pure from the beginning, but it is weak. And when it gets proper nourishment in the Shravana Kirtana Jale Karaye Shechan, when it gets the nourishment of water and manure in the form of Shravan Kirtan, etc., then it gets nourished and then it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, like that.
Okay. So, my question was linked to the same thing that because if we have the Bhakti Lata Beej,
mm-hmm.
and if it is coming with that pure faith, then what is the need to de-glamorize? That was my thought process. Now it's clear. So we need to de-glamorize the impersonal thing because the strength is weak.
Exactly. I understood the purpose of your question. That's why I said it is vulnerable.
Yes, yes. Okay. So that Shraddha is the Bhakti Lata Beej.
Yes.
That Shraddha which we get is the actual correct. Bhakti Lata Beej.
Correct.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhupada. Okay, quickly, just one or two last questions. Why only Salokya, not other types of... Yeah, Salokya includes others also. Salokya, you go... Sarshti, someone may... Sarupya, some people may get, but not everyone gets Sarupya also. There. Some get, some may not get. And Sarshti also, some may get, some may not get. You know, the similar powers like that. This last verse doesn't speak about Jnana Mishra Bhakta and Karma Mishra Bhakta, but only Yoga Mishra Bhakta and Shuddha Bhakta. It does refer to, yes, it can refer to Jnana Mishra Bhakta and Karma Mishra Bhakta also. Yes, it can. Do they evolve further like Salokya Mukti, Jiva or Shantarati? Can they progress further? If they get the proper association of pure devotees and if their heart gets transformed, yes, they can progress further. It is possible. Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening. I apologize for going over time. We will meet again. Oh, just hold on. Next Friday, I will be traveling to Bombay, because next Saturday is Radhashtami and I wish to be there at Chaupati temple for Radhashtami. There is a good chance that His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj may also be there. So next Friday, I really apologize. I don't like to cancel sessions, but I think, you know, next Friday we may have to cancel. So the ninth chapter will have to wait and see the coincidence. Ninth chapter, which is talking about pure devotional service, you know, it is destined that we can start ninth chapter only after taking the blessings of Srimati Radharani, not before that. So on Radhashtami, we will take blessings of Srimati Radharani and then start the chapter on pure devotional service. I think it's so appropriate. So next Friday, by Krishna's mercy, we will not have. But the week after that, by the blessings of Srimati Radharani, we will start the ninth chapter, which speaks about pure devotional service. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. श्रीमद् भगवद्गीता की जय। हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू वेरी मच।